We survived it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Best of Five Show. My name is Elon. I am joined here currently only with Steve, the main squeeze ace king, Officer Jurek. Thank you for being here, Steve. Mike Donkashiller should be joining us soon, if not later.
But in the meantime, we do have the great Dr. Steve Brule.
Yep. Brule's rules. Always follow him. First, before we get started, I said I was going to do this during the countdown. Big ol' thank you to Die by Sword. 31 months and many, many more for everyone else in this chat. And big thanks to Blue as well for 19 months.
Thank you. We really do appreciate all of the support and the love you give us.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, big thank you to everyone else who's here hanging out with us on this, the Tuesday of the 12th of May.
May the 12th be with you. That doesn't work, does it?
I mean, it's fine. I feel like that would have been... I feel like that sounds more like condescending than if I would have just said no.
Oh, no. You have the right to go full condescending on that one. That was not a good joke. That was not a good one. Do not encourage me.
Well, may your jokes get better. All right. Tonight on the show.
That was only marginally better.
I wish I would have had this idea a little bit earlier, because now I would have a glass of wine in my hand. I would be joining him and drinking all of the glasses of wine.
I have a glass of Kraft Bond glue.
All I have. Top. All I have is a remote control for my air conditioner. Good times. Anyway, tonight on the show, we actually have shit to talk about. First, is being horny on Maine a good thing or a bad thing? We found out. Second, we saw the big old reveal for Mortal Kombat. Everybody's happy about it, except for a few things, like the price. Third, we actually have a recap back today. And lastly, we're going to talk about things that people are horny on Maine for. So before we start, Steve, you want to hit us with the old regular comforting normal recap?
All right. I was waiting for you to finish that sentence.
Me too.
That took me on a roller coaster. The one tournament I wanted to highlight this weekend was the box. We mentioned it a few weeks ago. This was the Smash tournament put together by Hungry Box and NFL star Le'Veon Bell with a $10,000 prize pool. It had over 8,100 entrants.
Jesus.
So, which is massive. And, you know, now that we know that we're going to have some form of online Evo event, we know that we're probably going to see more of these massive, massive online tournaments in the future. But we do see very familiar names near the top, even though it's online. Best Nest entered as the top seed in the tournament, got the job done, won it over Tweak. You see the Buzz and ESAM rounding out the top four. So, yeah, it's not like it's Shinakuma 654. Mm-hmm. Who is the ripoff of Shin Akuma 666, by the way. Mm-hmm. That's the new canon.
Yeah. Did Best Ness use Ness?
All the way.
Good.
It was all Ness.
Good. Good. Good.
So, yeah, it seems like, you know, are our fears overstated when it comes to online tournaments?
Yeah, I think so. Look, man, you can... Here's... I'm going to say this very bluntly. And I don't mean this in a negative way. But I kind of do, if I'm going to be honest. You can whine and bitch and moan about online tournaments and lag or whatever, but you know what? We got them. And I'm happy we got them. And I'm pretty sure everyone else should be happy we have them. Is it frustrating? Yeah. But you know what? There's a lot of shit out in the world that's way more frustrating than anything else we're dealing with.
True.
Or that we are dealing with, you know? But what I mean is, you know, stick that shit with a grain of salt. It don't matter. Just have some fun.
It should be interesting to see, you know, when we get other games. Because, I mean, when we talk about online experiences, Smash Ultimate is not near the top of the totem pole.
You know what it is near the top of the totem pole as, though?
What?
Is that the biggest online tournament we've ever seen for a fighting game?
Single bracket, as far as I can tell, yes.
8,100 kids and young adults.
And it was capped, too.
It was capped? It was
capped at 80. Yeah, it was capped at 8,192.
Ooh, did it reach the cap? No, right? Yeah?
It reached the cap, but a few people withdrew.
Okay.
So.
That's crazy. First of all, that is a ridiculous number, and the fact that it was capped makes it even more ridiculouser.
I mean, how big? Here's I know we usually have prediction games for Evo. How big do you think assuming there's going to be one big tournament for the U.S. for like Street Fighter or Tekken 7, how big do you think those brackets will get if they're uncapped?
There is a very easy answer to this, and it's dependent on one variable. What's the entry fee?
That's a good point. This, of course, was a free entry event. Mm-hmm. You know, and I do remember Ultra David talking about this last week or earlier this week about the logistics of offering a prize for an online tournament because it crosses state lines. Mm-hmm. The laws that govern it are a lot different than the laws for, you know, an event that happens in Vegas or in Minneapolis or what have you.
Yeah.
He does not expect to see any sort of significant prizing for Evo, which is going to be very, very interesting. It'll be disappointing to some people.
Mm-hmm.
I would expect there will be some, at least, you know, if not pot bonuses, some sort of sweetener or things to sweeten the deal from the devs. You know, Capcom mm-hmm. might not splash $50,000 on it. But they might give, you know, they might create some in-game titles or something, which I think is something that a lot of devs should be doing anyway.
Yeah.
Or at least would be nice to see.
I don't know if this is possible, but I feel like I could see them, like, offering a free trip for a tournament next year.
That's always a possibility, you know. Get your registration covered, you know. Do it big for Vegas 2021.
Yeah.
Or you could get a flight out to UFC Fight Island.
Yeah, that is true. UFC Mortal Kombat Island. But you know what, though? I think here's what I think is going to happen as far as Evo goes. For Evo, if it's going to be region locked, and they're going to have, like, let's take, for example, Street Fighter V. There's going to be, what, 3-4 regions?
I'd imagine more than that, you know.
Let's take 5 regions then. So we got North and South America, Europe, Africa, 6 Asia. Regions, and then like Eastern Asia and Western Asia, and then maybe Southern Asia if we really want it. And fuck it, let's add Australia in there. So 8, one for each continent, 7. Including Antarctica. So here's what I think is going to happen. Each winner of each region is going to then get a trip to Evo for a special invitational 8-man tournament of Marvel 2.
Even if they win in, like, Street Fighter V, mm-hmm. they got to play Marvel 2 in the finals.
Yep, they got to play Marvel 2.
Congratulations, Arzel Nash.
Better get those sentinel loops going.
Oh god!
Better lab that shit up.
Super Kuma, congratulations. How's your role?
I'm trying to think. Oh man, could you imagine? Like one of the Smash winners who like wasn't even born when MVC2 came
Oh
out.
my God.
That'd be sick. I would love to see
Oh
that.
my God. We got like some 15-year-old prodigy steps up, wins it all.
Dude, that'd be
And now
sick.
all of a sudden it's like, what's a Marvel?
Oh man, that'd be hilarious. I would love that. Yeah, let me see some 13-year-old Iron Man Infinites, will you?
Oh
But
my
either
God.
way.
Speaking of, I just saw that Ultra David Arena set against Noah the Prodigy. Remember him?
Oh
He's
yeah.
17 now. He's 17.
Man, it feels like a year ago he was like two.
They grow up so fast. They really do. And they make me feel so old.
He was the one that had a set with, was it John Ding at a final round?
Are you thinking
I'm
of.
thinking of somebody else.
No, you're thinking of King Ray Jr., I
I
think.
am thinking of Kingery Jr. You're right.
No, no,
There are they are all
Noah.
everybody that's under 15 looks the same. Let's be real.
Once you get to a certain age, people just blend into age groups. There's like younger than me, older than me. That's pretty much it.
Even
You
though
know,
older than you
everyone on this
starts
show,
getting
yeah, everyone on this show is like right around my age, so you're all my age.
including
You know,
people in the chat.
I
You're all
can't
our
even look.
age.
Yeah, someone comes up to me and they say they're 20, they look 12. That's how it is. I'm sorry.
There's a rough time getting older. But with each year we get older, we do grow a year wiser. So
And we
listen to
get
your
to
elders out
enjoy
there.
and we get to enjoy 365 wine o'clocks.
Man, I really do wish I had a glass of wine now. I'm kind of sad. Part of me really wants to stop the show to go get one, but I'm not going to do that. Okay, so
Like, do you have wine in your fridge, or are you talking about going to the store and just
wine in my
leaving me hanging?
fridge? What the fuck is wrong with you? I do have champagne in my fridge, mind you. So maybe when it's the best of five anniversary, I'll bust that out. I bought it for New
What's
Year's
wrong?
and I never drank it.
What's wrong with wine in the fridge?
Bro, wine doesn't go in the fridge. What's wrong with you?
The wines in the boxes do. Those are the
Oh,
best wines.
well, okay. All right. I'm just gonna leave
Yeah,
that
yeah.
there.
We'll agree to disagree.
I do have a musty cellar in my studio apartment. Thank you very much. It's great. But okay, let's dive into these topics, shall we? Because there's a lot of them. First, Capcom announced that they're starting an esports academy. Now, and here's the confusing thing. Are they starting an esports academy and having a league both for women? Or are they having an esports academy, comma, a league for women?
It does sound like it's two separate projects. The thrust of this came from Capcom's most recent earnings report, which they just released, where they discussed some of their plans going forward. Part of it involved their focus on esports and their increasing focus on esports more specifically. One paragraph in particular caught a few eyes this week. Quote, excuse me, further, the company sees esports as an integral part of its future growth strategy and is working to consolidate its position in this expanding market with upfront capital allocation and investments in human resources. It plans to found the Esports Academy, tentative name, for training professional players, as well as to establish regional teams and leagues for female players, end quote. So, the fact that Capcom is planning on investing in league or in an academy is noteworthy. Also of note is obviously they're investing in getting women into esports. Mm-hmm. And that has kicked off a whole conversation. And I don't know how deeply you want to go into that, but we can talk about that. We can certainly talk about that.
I feel like we're the wrong people to be discussing this.
We probably are. To be fair.
And I think what I mean by that is our opinions don't fucking matter on this subject. Whose opinions do matter? Women's. So go ask them. Because I truthfully do not know. I thought somebody just knocked on my door, but I guess I'm just going crazy. If they're down to make things to entice more women to get into it, great. I don't know how I would feel as a woman being like, oh, here, we'll make this especially for your gender. I don't know. I don't know how I would see it. Part of me thinks I'd be like, fuck off. If I wanted to run a women's only tournament, we'd do it. So I don't know. Yeah, I'm not a woman. I don't know. I'm white passing, straight white male, you know, fucking privileged city over here.
I've seen women actually bring up both sides. I've seen women who say, hey, you know what? This is nice. This is an extra way for us to, or for fellow women to come in and get involved in the game we love. Mm-hmm. And I've seen some women who say, you know what? I don't like this. I don't want to be treated any differently. Just let us play and in an environment where we're all treated equally and leave it at that. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I have all the answers.
Yeah.
But it is noteworthy. And we've seen, you know, we've seen approaches from both sides. I mean, Combo Queens, mm-hmm. Whenever that they're at an event, you know, they have get togethers for players. They run a lot at off many events. They run tournaments for female players to compete in, you know, a different environment, more welcoming environment for some. Excuse me. And in my opinion, that's great to see. You know, I just want as many people to have the opportunity to come into the game, the games that we love, and enjoy them.
Yep.
And I don't think we're quite at a point yet where the opportunity for that to happen for everyone is equal.
Yeah.
There are reasons behind that which are way above my pay grade, but I don't mind seeing this. I don't mind seeing some money being thrown towards getting more people to participate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, yeah, another example, this was the EXO Academy. I thought that shit was pretty cool.
Well, yeah, and their approach is a little different too, you know. But what they're doing, it's not just great for women, it's just great for whoever gets to participate, because mm-hmm. That's basically an all-encompassing thing, not just here's how you become a better player, like here's how you improve your brand awareness, here's how you, you know, become more marketable, here's how you stream, here's, you know, it's a great opportunity for anyone who gets to participate in that.
Yep.
And that actually brought up a whole other topic that we're probably not going to touch on this week, with, you know, the coverage of it. Mm-hmm. Because obviously this kicked up a whole lot of interest in the subject, but, you know, we talked about Combo Queens, we talked about EXO Academy, you know, they have been in this area before for a while, and they didn't get necessarily as much attention as this is getting. Mm-hmm. So, question is, why is that the case? Should they, you know, should we be paying so much attention to this? Should we have been paying more attention to that? Why isn't there that imbalance?
Yeah, here's why I think it is, and this is going to lead to our next topic. I think that imbalance is coming from the fact that this is the Capcom, right? This is like the company that makes the game, that puts up the money for these tournaments, that's doing everything. Like, they're the ones that are starting to push for this, right? And yeah, I think it's straight up just like the name and the fact that it has eyes on it, right? Because I think if I'm not mistaken, the Combo Queen stuff was run by Jamillion, or she was involved in it in some way, and I know she's from Philly, where I came from. And like they've done a ton of work to get that stuff growing, and it's been growing, and it's been great. I've seen lots of great things coming from them. And I do mean CPT Damon. Exactly, it's just Carolyn. Yeah, so seeing it come from like the big C up above, probably could have used a better wording, but you get the point. Seeing it come from Capcom, who, you know, are the people who are calling the shots, I think is why that got more eyes on it. If that makes sense. Especially because it's being discussed in like an investor level stuff.
I agree with you 100%. You know, it's not that, you know, it's not that what happened before doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But if, you know, when, if Capcom, and we don't know how much money they're putting behind this, we don't know how many resources they're putting up behind.
Do we know if this is even happening or if this was just like an investor's pitch?
Well, this is something that they're planning to do. So they can't say it without. It doesn't necessarily guarantee that it's 100% going to come to fruition, but they can't just pull it out of thin air.
Right.
They have the option to throw resources and money behind this and get this in front of a much wider audience. But at least within the community, you know, there is that, there is the knowledge of Combo Queens. There is the knowledge of EXO Academy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, that was part of the discussion. The other part was about, you know, FGC Media and the roles of sites like Event Hubs and Shoryuken and all of those other community-focused sites.
Yeah.
And the idea of, hey, maybe you should have been talking about that more, which I have some thoughts on that as well.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. I don't disagree with you. Any final thoughts before we move on
from this topic to next? You know, I would love to see more coverage of like the positive aspects of the community, the more community driven stuff, but that doesn't happen unless the community as a whole finds that product, cherishes that product, reads that product in such great numbers that it becomes viable for them to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in my experience, I've written for Dot Esports. The stuff that was along those lines, the whole, hey, here's what the community's doing. Here's the nice corner of our world to shine on. Those do okay. The silly stuff, the easy stuff, the tier list, the stuff that gets that's called clickbait, that does like 8, 10, 12 times the traffic that the other stuff does. And FGC Media is not a huge world to begin with.
Yep.
So we have to make sure, you know, if you want to see better news, consume better news, please, because it has to be viable for them to put resources into it.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, honestly, that's the trend with, like, everything nowadays, right? It's so much easier to, like, see a headline and be like, oh, PewDiePie just put out a list of somethings. Let me go read that instead of, like, you know, oh, a smaller YouTuber donates $10,000 to charity. I know that's, like, a very weird example, but yeah, I mean, it's yeah, like, how do you balance out having the stories that are the good stories that people won't necessarily take interest in with the shitty stories that people do tend to click on?
Yeah, it's a matter of, you know, at some point, a lot of these sites, I know the calculus is different for a site like Dot Esports, which is generally sports focus, versus something like Event Hubs, which is esports, you know, specifically fighting games, versus something like top tier.gg, which is I've been seeing more and more of. Excuse me. All the calculus, what their goals are at all three sites are different. But you know, you can't do that for free. You have to have some sort of money coming in, whether that's through ad revenue, whether that's through crowdfunding like Patreon. At some point, you have to make business decisions. Otherwise, you won't have a business to make decisions about.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, that's what it comes down to. So it would take a sea change, I feel. And it's not just an FGC issue. That's an issue you see at esports writing on all levels. That's news media in general right
yep.
now.
Yep, you know? Yep, yep. I agree. But, you know, I do want to bring up the fact that you said, you know, you do have to have some income revenue when you're running a media site, you know, because ultimately, like, you know, how are you going to pay people to run that if you're not having a revenue? And I just want to point out the fact that if we do reach 3 subscribers today, Steve will keep a main squeeze offsuit in his Twitter name.
No.
We're done?
No.
It's over?
We're done with main squeeze. If
oh,
we get,
oh, boy.
We got 2. So if we get 1 more, I will go to Hetty Murphy.
Hetty Murphy, that's right. I forgot. It's Hetty Murphy. So if you want to see Steve change his Twitter handle, the Twitter name to Hetty Murphy, consider using your Twitch Prime sub here. And, you know, if you haven't used your Twitch Prime sub and it's blinking over there, get free, you might as well use it here because you're going to forget about it. And honestly, we all want Jeff Bezos to spend some money. So go ahead and do it. All right. Speaking of companies making stuff and spending money, SNK announced a new character for Sam Show. Here it is.
Here it is. It is Iroha. She's a bird.
She's a plane.
Remember that. No, she's a bird.
She's not a plane.
She's a
it's
bird.
It's Superman.
Oh, you're. But yeah, Iroha coming out tomorrow. Or, no, Thursday. Excuse me. Thursday, she goes live. They announced her. Obviously, she had been in the works for a while, but they announced her release date.
Oh, yeah, tomorrow.
Earlier this week. So yeah, tomorrow she does go live. And there was some interesting fallout from that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Sam Show or the Samurai Showdown Twitter account went a little, you know, obviously, can you pull up the trailer again on that last shot?
Hold on. Hold it. Holding.
Hold it.
The last shot?
The last shot, just like with the date. Because obviously, obviously, she's got a lot going on. And people have been very, very noticeable about that. So, people obviously have sort of memed it up in terms of the thirst for Iroha. Some of it is jokey, some of it in earnest. And the Sam Show Twitter account kind of rolled with it. They started retweeting some screenshots that showed her backside, showed her cheeks. And then at one point tweeted out, "We're all horny on Maine."
Mm-hmm.
They were very much rolling with that over the week. Then the other day, are you able to pull up the tweet with the new tech?
I don't have it prepared, sorry.
Oh.
But, yeah, go for it.
So, all of those tweets got deleted a couple of days ago, and Sam Show and yesterday the account put out a tweet that said, quote, "A number of posts made by this account have been deemed inappropriate and offensive to members of our community. The admin in charge has been given a strict warning to be more considerate. The offending posts have now been deleted. Please accept our sincerest apologies." That was made early yesterday morning.
Mm-hmm. So, Here's the sitch. First, I want to say that it was not only one person that was saying this. Multiple people were pointing out that, yeah, it's a little bit uncomfortable to see, you know, the official Twitter account for this game being inappropriate. I don't know, maybe not even inappropriate, but, you know, it's, and I understand from, like, the marketing point of view, you want to go with the stuff that's generating interest, right? So I don't think there was any ill will on the person doing it, nor do I think there was any ill will intended at all, but the fact that this is coming from an official source, or, like, not an official source, but, like, an official account, and the fact that it's making some people uncomfortable is bad. Right?
Yes. And then, but here come, I think anytime you make a decision like this, and, you know, Sam Show is figuring that out, we've seen it time and time and time again. Anytime you make any sort of decision like this, one way or the other, mm-hmm. you officially enter the culture war. So now you have... there's no other way to say
it. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
Now you've got a whole bunch of people... You know, you had some people who thank them and say, you know, thank you for taking responsibility. I'm now going to buy your game because you made the right decision. And then you had a whole bunch of people saying they either bought the game or were considering buying the game because, you know, hey, this was fun. There was no harm intended. But now you've deleted it. I'm not going to follow you. I'm not going to buy your game.
Can I? I'm going to say one thing. I'm willing to bet 90% of the people who... I'm willing to bet 90% of the people who tweeted, I was about to buy your game and now I'm not. We're never going to buy the game.
I would say that percentage is probably very low. Mm-hmm. I'm sure some people were, but it's a game that's been out for a year.
Yeah.
If you were considering buying it at this point, you probably would have made that decision one way or the another by now.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's the situation. Is you can have your opinion on whether it's okay for if that's what you want to see on Twitter or not, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But Hedy Murphy's coming to Twitter. Thank you, Super D.
Thank you, Super D.
Much appreciated. Steve is now known as Hedy Murphy on Twitter. But here's the situation. You can have your opinion on whether you want to see that shit or you don't. That's perfectly fine. I think I feel like a broken record when I say shit like this, but I feel like this, like, ill will that's going towards the two parties now is the most unnecessary bullshit I have ever seen in my life. Right? Like, it's like, oh, somebody wrote something on Twitter that made somebody uncomfortable. Now, all of a sudden, it's like everybody is harassing one specific person or everybody is harassing the Twitter that did it. It's like, what the... Can't we all just say, hey, that was a decision that was made, I agree with it or not, and then be done with it, instead of just, like, going around and harassing people? I mean, if you want to harass shit, too, that's your call. I don't give a fuck. But still, like, that's what I really don't understand. It's like, why are you so pissed about it? Like, what the fuck does it matter?
It matters because this is the internet. You can't just let sleeping dogs lie on the internet.
Hold on. Let me just add one more thing before we go deeper into this. Somebody was saying they're waiting for the PC release. It is on PC, on the Stadia.
Thank you.
Now woohoo, go on.
Stadia! Is it still free to use?
I think so.
Yeah, so you just have to buy the game on Stadia.
Stadia. But yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt your point. I just really wanted to get that joke out. What were you saying? So I said, why does it matter? And you said, because it's the internet. And then you were about to go into a point.
No, that was the point. It's the internet. You can't be... There's no room for... The problem with Twitter, and one of the problems with Twitter, there are several problems with Twitter, But because it's a smaller, because the messages are smaller, there is less room for nuance. So anytime you have, and anyone can amplify any voice at any time. So if you're someone who believes that, the existence of Aroha is proof that game developers only see women as objects to be sexualized, you will find plenty of responses from people going horny on Maine to justify it, or to amplify and say, hey, this is how people feel. If you're someone who it is the other way and thinks that this is all in good fun and people are just being overly hypersensitive to things that don't really bother them, you can go on Twitter and find plenty of arguments that support that case too. So it's not just a matter of, you can't have people coming together and having thoughtful, thought out discussions here. Well, you can, it's just not very, Twitter is not conductive to those sorts of exchanges. So it's just mostly like hit and run, anger going every direction.
Yeah. So it's funny that we see this reaction on Twitter of like people just dogpiling on like these two opposing bandwagons, just like we're seeing in politics, by the way, where ultimately nothing matters. I just think it's so bizarre that like this is a big deal, right? Like, look, ultimately the person who is running a Twitter account, you can use that dumbass argument of like, oh, well, these other companies are doing it. Who the fuck cares? We're talking about this specific incident because this is what caused an issue, right? And by caused an issue, I mean somebody just voiced their opinion and then people got butthurt about it. That's ultimately all that means in my eyes. If somebody complains about it and the company then itself thinks, hey, that's not how we want our shit to be represented, they have the right to say that. And that's what they said with this SNK tweet. And like, I don't think it was like necessarily like ill will towards anybody. I think it was just like, hey, we don't want this handled this way. Please don't do that again. You feel me? The thing I don't understand about it is the fact that it was on Twitter and now you have like these two giant groups that are like just fucking angry at each other for not sharing the same opinion when it doesn't fucking matter. Everybody has different opinions, man. That's what I really don't understand about Twitter. And honestly, we say like the problem with Twitter, it's like the problem is with the fucking people using Twitter. Like Twitter is just a thing where you can type 104, well, now it's a lot more characters into a status and then share it with your friends and other people. And it's turned into like this weird like Monopoly game where one person lands on, a spot with like a hotel and shit, and all of a sudden like everybody just comes rushing towards it. Just like the money. That's probably a bad analogy, but either way. What I'm getting at is stop it. Stop being shitty.
I wish it were that simple. Iroha is out tomorrow. You can play as a bird, dressed as a maid, with very, very, very large breasts, if you want.
And sharp knives. I think, okay, I'm going to say one more thing, and that's going to be it. Everything that's said on Twitter is not personal until it's made to be personal. And the fact that people are making it personal makes me think that they themselves are struggling with something. So, stop it.
There's a whole conversation there. That's
yes. Probably so as Michael Jordan would say, stop it. Get some help.
Well, you also said fuck them kids too.
Fuck them kids. Yeah. Stop it. Fuck them kids. Get some help. In that order. Either way. All right.
Crazy.
Anything else to add on this, or can we move on? Because this topic just makes me sad.
We should probably move on.
All right, let's get to the cool shit, shall we? More shit that got announced. This is some... So we saw this teased and rumored for quite a while, and now it's finally happened. And everybody's kind of losing their shit about it, right? Fucking Tony Hawk remake.
This makes me feel a certain kind of way. This is... Oh, my God. It warms the cockles of my heart to see this game come back.
Man.
But yeah, go ahead.
Look. Tony Hawk was the first game I got on my Dreamcast when I moved to the United States. So it's got a special place in my heart, much like everyone else. And I was just having a conversation with someone that, like, it feels like there hasn't been a game like this that's been fun to play in a long time. So,
like, obviously, there have been plenty of great games since then.
But not skate games.
Like, maybe the skate series, but, like, now that I think about it, yeah, like, the Tony Hawk series was... something special. I've never really been a skateboarding fan. Like, I would watch it on ESPN when they aired the X Games, but other than that, it was like, eh, whatever. But this game just, it had me hooked.
Yep. Excuse September me. 4th, baby. It's going to be a good time. Also, speaking of good times, let me...
Although Tony Hawk 3 had the best soundtrack, don't at me.
Hold on. Good time. What am I doing? Okay. Speaking of good times. Damn it. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on, Mike. I'm getting
there.
Hold on. And then... Okay, we should be able to hear you now, Mike.
Okay, great. Sweet. I was about to dispute the fact that Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 has the best soundtrack.
Okay, let me hear your counter. Let me hear your
anything counter. Without Superman in it is not the best soundtrack. That is the most iconic Tony Hawk song, for sure.
Okay. Superman, I will give you. Superman is probably the greatest song of the series, bar none. But okay. I would say Tony Hawk 3 had the best, you know, just hit after hit, or not hit after hit, but banger after banger.
There are some Amoeba, bangers on this one.
I'm Destroying the World. There's
Wish by Alien Ant Farm.
There's
the Chili Peppers Exhibit.
If You Must, Del the Funky Homo Sapien. Yeah. I think... it doesn't have necessarily as high of a peak as one, but it just a high level across the board.
No, that's a good soundtrack.
Am I the only one that liked Tony Hawk Pro Skater 4?
Is that the one with Tokyo?
I think so. I know it's the first one where they made it open world. Where you can go around and like talk to people and get quests and shit.
I think it was around 3 or 4 that you could, like, continue combos with, like, really crazy stuff, and it got a little much for me. I like the arcadey feel of 1 and 2 the most, still.
You're talking about the reverb?
Yeah, like, you could reverb, continue combo. It was crazy. Yeah, the reverb, yeah, I think it was 3. 3 is when it got a little crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. So here's the thing. I'm a big fan of, and Steve, much to your point, I wasn't into skating. I tried skateboarding once and I fell and broke my arm. Never got on one again. But I loved Tony Hawk. I used to play it with... like, that's how I made friends when I first moved here when I couldn't speak English. We would play Tony Hawk. Like, what does that say? it's weird. And, you know, we're currently in the era of remakes. So, about time that this shit happened. Especially because, you know, we've all been, like... I feel like we've been wanting a new, like, arcadey skateboarding game for a long, long time.
Or a new skate realistic skateboarding game if you read E3 Twitch chats.
See, I was never into skate. I think skate was just not for me. I never got it.
It's just nothing's come along to satisfy that itch. But man,
exactly. Yeah, look.
Have fighting games been talked about yet today?
So okay, mostly skateboarding. We talked about the new Sam Show character.
Okay.
And the subsequent fallout on Twitter. Do you want to add anything on that or no?
I'm surprised it was as big of a deal as it was. At the same time, like, I don't know why you would tweet that on the official account. You got your own account to tweet that if you want.
Yep.
I don't know.
I think that was basically the consensus. Speaking of doing shit on your account that you shouldn't be doing, thank you, Pierzera, for the big 31 months.
31 months, goddamn.
We are reaching the three-year anniversary here very soon. We're going to have to think about doing something special for that.
October 2020.
Is it October?
Yeah.
Cool, I'm glad
it's
you
five
know.
5 months from now, so.
5 months. Speaking of which, I bought a Harpeggied yesterday. Just out of like complete impulse.
A what?
A Harpeggied. It's what Stevie Wonder plays now. And it's like $4,000, and it was complete impulse. I was just like, I gotta have it. And I bought it.
So you spent $4,000 on a Harpeggied?
Yes. And I bought it, and I was like, I just need something to do. I bought the thing. And they gave me a musician's discount because I'm a musician. And I'm like, yeah, instant gratification. How long is it going to take to get here? And then I get an email. It's like, hey, it's going to take 90 to 120 days for us to build the thing. It's like, fuck. So I still have to wait until August for it. And it's not that I'm rich. I'm going to be paying for it for the next 3 years. So,
lit.
Man.
American dream, going into debt.
I think the standard American dream includes arpeggies, but now it does.
Yeah, but look, I've been meaning to do that for years.
Dude, I'm about to move. I'm trying to figure out like moving costs, storage, and I got a friend putting a fucking instrument on 3 years layaway.
It's not 3 years layaway. Like, it's a payment plan.
Financing for three, whatever.
Look, does anybody have $4,000 in their bank account? The answer to that riddle is maybe.
I can think of a couple, but they ain't cool. I'm not friends with them.
But anyway, that's like the thing that kind of hurts. It's like both. So Tony Hawk is coming out in September. This thing that I bought just out of an impulse is not coming until August. Ghost of Tsushima is not coming until what, like July. Our anniversary is not coming until October. All that shit feels like it's like decades away. That's rough.
Well, I mean, this month has already been one hell of a year, so.
Yeah, you're right.
I have strangely had a like strong gaming month.
Yeah.
Where, you know, like school has been a lot actually online, but like given that I don't have to commute or anything, I have a lot of time to play the games. And I've been playing Grand Blue, and I've been playing old school Summoner's Rift League of Legends. And I've been playing, I played Persona 5 Royale, which is just literally Persona 5 again. So I regret that a little bit, but I did do it. So there you go.
Yeah.
No, I played quite a lot of games.
I feel you. I wound up getting a key for Valorant somehow.
Okay.
So I did the tutorial, but I don't want to play it because I'm not good at FPSs with mouse and keyboard. So I don't want to get yelled at.
I recently learned that in Fortnite, a huge debate is the controller versus mouse and keyboard debate, and not in the way you would think. You know, in typical and old school PC shooters, it's obvious that the mouse and keyboard is better, and that people who plug in a controller do much worse. However, there is variable auto aim on Fortnite, and if you play on a controller, you get more auto aim than if you play on a mouse and keyboard. And so apparently now the controller is better. So this sparks many, many Twitter arguments. And
it's the same thing on
spent more time than I would like to admit reading it.
Yeah, it's the same thing on Call of Duty Warzone. Except Call of
that
Duty.
That seems like a mistake to make controller as good as I mean, I don't know. This is the old man in me, but
yeah. Well, I mean, look, if you don't play with a controller, then clearly you're just a casual. So you got to play your FPSs on a controller. Speaking of playing stuff on controller, Danka, you've played Mortal Kombat a bit, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I always play it for a little bit, and then I usually bow out.
Okay. Did you play on a pad or a stick?
Play on stick.
Okay. I can't play it on a stick. I think
you couldn't catch me dead on a pad doing anything, really.
Man, I don't know what it is, but just Mortal Kombat, I have to play it on a pad because the guard button fucks me up.
Any picture of me with a pad, I'll pay you to get rid of it. and if I'm anywhere within 10 feet of a hitbox, just kill me. So.
Damn.
Well, good thing we're social distancing, so you don't have to worry about that.
That's true. I got nowhere near those hitboxes, man. Oh, man. You can see some rage chat messages. Probably about the juiciest, controversial message you'll find out of me is something about a hitbox. So if you find the wrong Discord channel, you might find a couple.
Before we talk about Aftermath,
okay,
can we just compliment Mike on his mustache game?
Yeah, dude.
This man,
go for it.
He's looking like he's about to come out of the bullpen for the 1990 Oakland A's.
Pretty much, this man, yeah.
I commend you. I commend you.
Look, when social distancing is over, Mike, you and I need to get together and do a shot for shot remake of the intro to Magnum PI.
Oh, to do that. That'd be fun.
We'll get a helicopter.
My hair is going to get so crazy.
We're going to get a helicopter. Sorry, hold on. Answering emergency text. But we're going to get a helicopter. We're going to go to Hawaii.
I think Burt Reynolds usually wears a Hawaiian shirt in Magnum PI too, and I certainly have plenty of those.
Yep.
So.
Just get yourself a red one, get yourself some jorts. We'll be in business.
Yeah, I have jorts.
All right.
Are
we're
you
doing
sure
it.
You can swing this? You might have to sell your Harpeegee to finance it.
I don't even have it yet.
To the Harpeegee.
But anyway.
Do they at least reach out to you with any customization options or anything, or is it just they make them on demand the same way?
So I had the option to get custom stuff, but I didn't because the price was already very
more
high.
Expensive.
Yeah, they have different wood that they use. They have different finishes, different accents, all this fun stuff. But anyway, speaking of fun stuff, we finally got this trailer. Oh, shit. It's the wrong one. Damn it. Oh, no. It's controversy. All right. Here we are. There we go. They both have the same rating. I don't know.
The curves are so thick, you see them everywhere. But yes.
Is this the trail? I actually haven't watched this yet.
Okay. Well, let me turn on some audio here so we can enjoy it.
Okay. Got God, Liu Kang. Now, is the Mortal Kombat thing, if they always use K's only if it's a C at the start of the word? Is that the only time they replace a C with a K? Is it ever...
I wonder
if they've been consistent with that forever.
I believe that is the rule in the Mortal Kombat style book. I'll have to get a dictionary. But there you go, you got Fujin.
This was one of the meme characters Efren wanted, right? If I remember right.
I think so, yeah.
Well, he got his wish.
Everyone already knows who's in this, right? I mean, there's no spoiler at this point.
No, yeah, I don't think so.
The guest character in this trailer is maybe the only thing that could ever get me to turn on Mortal Kombat again.
You know, it is funny, because after I saw this trailer, I re-downloaded it.
Mortal Kombat. 80s and 90s action movies, and to put it's my favorite type of movie, and to put RoboCop in it after putting the Terminator in it makes things harder for me.
Dude, NRS has been so good with, like, these crazy... Also, by the way, this stage fatalities coming back is something I'm happy about.
I like stage fatalities. I like anything that makes you, like... That makes the crowd and the chat kind of get into it at the end. I mean... I think regular fatalities, obviously no one cares because you can do them at the end of every single match. But if you put some weird requirement on it, the people who know, like, oh, he really trolled for that, are going to appreciate it to some degree.
Word. And here he is, the big man himself.
You are under arrest, dirtbag. We should have seen it coming.
Where was his directives? I think they could have made the intro to RoboCop a little cooler in the trailer.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
obviously like a thousand different ways they could do that.
Also, then there's this, and this is what got me to re-download the game. Fucking friendships? You serious? Friendships? Come on now.
Is there a requirement for friendships? I can't really remember.
In the old game, you had to not use a punch, I think. Like, you had to just use kicks.
See, that's the kind of thing I appreciate. Because if I see someone and I know, oh, they didn't use any kicks to win that round, I'm like, damn, that's some disrespect right there.
Yeah. Oh, I think I remember now. You had to hold down the left kick button the entire match, and then you could only use right kick. So you had to hold one button down the entire match and then just use one button
to
win.
That's so sick.
And then not only that, you still had to put in the code afterwards. But yeah, and I can't pull it up right now, but Ed Boon tweeted out Sub-Zero's friendship, which is fucking hilarious. He comes out with a little ice cream truck, and he makes you a little popsicle on the spot. Fucking great. Cannot wait. That shit to me alone was like the reason I re-downloaded the game. I love that shit. Any more thoughts on Mortal Kombat Aftermath?
Well, we should probably talk about the pricing. Well, first of all, we should talk about the White Shadow because they have subscribed for 16 months in a row.
Thank you, the White Shadow.
And the White Shadow says, thank you, Steve, for always getting it right. I'm just going to let you believe that I always get it right. So thank you. No one tell him any different. Don't do it.
What does it feel like to be right all the time? Does that get boring?
It feels, you know, it's a daunting responsibility, you know, knowing that everything that comes out of my mouth is infallible.
Mm-hmm.
It's like heavy is the head that wears the crown. And my head is so heavy, but it means that I sleep very, very well.
For sure. For sure. Go for it.
But yeah.
Let's talk about it.
So there's a lot to like. Yeah, there's a lot to like in that trailer if you are a fan of Mortal Kombat. What some people may not like so much is the amount of money they'll have to shell out for it. We have a breakdown of it. There are some things that are coming with the update that are free. So every character getting friendships, new fatalities, new stages, all of that will be free. But you're going to have to pay some money to get the bulk of the new content. So if you want the story expansion and the three new characters, that is going to set you back $39.99. That also comes with three new character skins and a Johnny Cage Thanks a Million skin. If you want to add Combat Pack 1, on top of that, you can get the bundle for $49.99. If you don't have MK11 at all, you can buy the full collection for $60, which is sort of like Game of the Year edition. You can think of the base game plus Combat Pack 1 and all of the Aftermath stuff. But yeah, $40.
Well, and this is something we talked about last week. This is the first time that they've, like, added robust, like, story content to a DLC in an NRS game. Right?
Yeah.
I feel like this hasn't happened before. And I feel like with the amount of effort that they put into these story contents, like, I feel like that might be worth it, to be honest.
It doesn't bother me. It's whether or not people will pay for it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't bother me if that's what they think it's worth. It's certainly not. Can you buy it without the story content and get just the characters for cheaper, I assume? Or
I believe so. I believe you should be able to just get, like, RoboCop.
Full confirmation.
If you can get the characters in any normal sense, then I don't see the problem. If that's what the story's worth, then that's what it's worth. I don't know that anyone bought MK11 expecting a story expansion for free later on. And if they did, I don't know why they did that. So
I don't know either.
But here's my question. What if
there's no a la carte option, that would suck really bad.
I can agree with that.
Yeah. If you're someone who doesn't really care about the story, because not everybody plays the same game for the same reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got plenty of people who are into MK11 because of the story and because of the lore. They don't really care about... They might care about Shiva, her role in the story, but they're not necessarily going to, you know, have their hearts set on playing as her. That's fine. If there's an option available for them, that's great. On the flip side, there's people who don't really care about the story. They only like the gameplay, and they just want to get access to the characters. It's great if there's an option for them. As if there isn't that way to purchase it separately, that could be a very big problem, because now you're asking for $40 for a bunch of stuff that, you know, a good chunk of your audience, one way or the other, doesn't want.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Yeah, I truthfully don't see that happening, though, and here's why. Anytime they've released a combat pack, you were still able to get individual characters. So I don't see this being any different from that. I could be wrong. I'm not Steve.
$40 is, you know, if nothing else, it's sticker shock.
Mm-hmm.
If you break it down, it's probably not going... It doesn't, you know, if you think of it as like $25 for a DLC pack, which isn't out of line with what other games are charging.
Right.
Yep.
You know, and it does sound weird to try and justify that when you're talking about a game charging $40 for extra content a year afterwards.
Yeah.
Now,
especially because the base game was already like $60. That's harsh. Or more if you bought the other editions.
They certainly put quite a bit of development into this, though. They're going to have every single character is going to have a new friendship or whatever. Those cutscenes aren't, you know, easy to make. They do have real actors doing all of that stuff. And then obviously there's three new characters, including RoboCop has the voice of RoboCop, right? So they they had to get him in there. So... I don't know. If there's no a la carte option, they're going to lose some buyers for sure. Because $40 is... I think a $40 mandatory purchase price for any particular character would be by far the most expensive DLC character in the history of fighting games. By about $32 to $33. I don't ever remember anyone costing $40. So I don't think that's going to be the case.
Yeah.
The other thing I was thinking about with this trailer is this is set to release 2 weeks from today.
Mm-hmm.
Combo Breaker was set to end, you know, 2 days before 2 weeks from today. So I'm wondering if this was supposed to hit at Combo Breaker.
Yeah, they could have done the cool, like, playable tomorrow kind of deal, and that would have been cool. It's unfortunate that could be true.
I also feel like the RoboCop reveal would have been at Combo Breaker separate from the story mode reveal.
Something like that for sure, yeah. I'm guessing they would have utilized Combo Breaker to reveal things. But...
Yeah, for sure. You know, unfortunate. We're trying to not get sick.
We should have seen RoboCop coming, though. Because with MK10, you had Alien versus Predator. Now you've got RoboCop versus the Terminator. Next, MK12, you're going to have X versus Sever.
Well, didn't you also in MK10 we also had Freddy and no, not Freddy, Jason and what's it, Leatherface?
Yeah.
And then Freddy was like a game Freddy previous. Versus Jason. Freddy was MK9. Yeah, Jason Freddy was the previous MK. Game.
Can we just appreciate the fact that I made an X versus Sever reference?
You did.
I might be the first person in 2020 in the entire world to do that.
You could be. It wouldn't be surprising.
Chat, clap it up for Steve. Chat, clap it up for Steve. Let's give him some appreciation here.
Thank you. No, hold your applause. No autographs, please.
Nope, too late. Everybody clap for Steve.
No, you're not the first one to make a reference, because someone said we have XAE or whatever, the Elon Musk's child versus Sever to look forward to. So
okay.
Body.
So I'm the second. I'm top two. I made grand finals.
Elon Musk's child X versus Sever. Yes.
Sweet. I think...
Did we I have know anything? If we have...
Go for it.
Well, here's one minor topic. So mm-hmm. Riot Games is obviously, as we know, making a fighting game.
Mm-hmm.
Riot Games has, since announcing their fighting game, released two games that were not League of Legends.
Mm-hmm.
One was Legends of Runeterra, a card game, which has players, but certainly hasn't made the largest splash on, you know, the Twitch scene ever, although it's still above any fighting game.
Mm-hmm.
But then the second is Valorant, which mm-hmm. is the most popular game on Twitch and a very large release. So they've obviously, it's not a game that's graphically impressive or radically new or anything like that, but based on, you know, Riot's credibility as a company and based on, you know, whatever they paid streamers to play it and based on this marketing campaign, it's become an extremely popular game and people seem to like it. So what is this spell for a Riot fighting game? And, you know, I think people aren't as excited about it as I am, but I think it could be a huge deal for our scene. And I think Valorant is big proof of that. Because if mm-hmm. Valorant being not a AAA game at all, as far as what it looks like or what it is, being able to make this much of a splash could be a big deal for them doing whatever the fighting game is. I don't know. I'm super excited for it. And I think it could be just what we need.
Yeah, look,
it's definitely going to have rollback. I can promise you that.
Yeah, for sure. Especially because the people working on it are adamant about it, right? But I think I told you.
Yeah.
I think I told you guys I played a little bit of it. I played the tutorial of Valorant. And it's bizarre because it's a mashup of everything that's popular in an FPS, right? They have, it's basically like if Team Fortress 2, Overwatch, and Counter-Strike all had a baby together, that's what Valorant is.
Yeah, pretty much.
It doesn't feel new, right? It feels like it's a game you've played for, like, forever. But it doesn't feel like you're playing a game for the first time, but it feels like you're experiencing something else for the first time, right? I'm pretty sure that doesn't make any sense outside of my head, but what I mean is, with like the actual feel of the game, like controlling your character, shooting a weapon does not feel different. Everything else around it feels different, even though it's stuff that we've seen before. So
League
if they're
Legends...
no, all I was gonna say is if they're putting the effort of making the game feel like it's home, quote unquote, to Counter-Strike, or if they're making Valorant feel to counter or feel like Counter-Strike in a new setting with new things, I'm super optimistic about what they're going to do with this fighting game.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think there's so much unknown about Project L. It certainly has the ability, the potential at least, to be an absolute game changer in, you know, both, you know, fighting games as a whole in the FGC. They have the resources. Again, we don't know how much they're going to pour behind it, but they have the resources to make this a very, very big thing very quickly. How well the community will latch onto that remains to be seen. But all the ingredients are there for this to be potentially a big shift. It might end up just a side game. It might end up being like one of the big games, but not, you know, right in line with something like Tekken or Street Fighter is right now, where it's, you know, right along that top level. Or it could be something that comes in and dwarfs everything else. We don't know. There's so much to be determined about this.
I just think we would be stupid not to latch on to it. And mm-hmm. I know that, like, it is a different thing, but I think moving to PC is the future for fighting games without any question. It's where everyone's on. It's where every other competitive game is on. It's where net play actually works mm-hmm. and where you can drive out patches fast and developers can do things at the pace that they necessarily want to. And with Riot, who runs their own launcher and their own everything, we don't have to worry about any sort of crazy, you know, Grand Blue patch comes 2 weeks late to PC because Steam hasn't agreed to it yet, sort of garbage that we have to deal with now.
Yeah.
So, you know, seeing Valorant do Runeterra made me a little apprehensive, where I was like, maybe League of Legends is a one-off that they really did. But with Valorant doing what it did, being kind of an ugly CSGO ripoff, I think we got a shot for this to be the future of fighting games. So I don't know. That's just me calling it out right now.
Yeah, no, and
so
you're not.
I hope people try it.
Yeah, and I don't think you're wrong. As a matter of fact, I think you are very correct. The thing I think people are very apprehensive about is since we had the experience, and by we, I mean the collective FGC has had the experience of running some tournament games on a PC in previous years and having a shitty experience with that, I feel like that's going to be a bit of an apprehensive scar moving forward.
Only
with
if
that,
you know, only if you don't know why.
Right.
Which is that we are playing on shitty SF5 PC ports that can't recognize input unless you restart the game. I mean, like, a lot of these issues are things that are very specific to bad PC ports. Mm-hmm. But I understand that they are there.
Yeah. With that said, I think if the games are developed in a way that can accommodate that, can accommodate somebody unplugging a controller and then plugging another one in, I feel like that's at base level, like, all we need.
And I'm sure they'll figure that out. They were able to make it work on Skullgirls. It's just, you know, Street Fighter, because PC is not the leading platform for tournaments, that wasn't really a high priority. Same with Tekken, same with a lot of these other games where you run into these issues. Like I said, the potential is there, if they get those things right, to absolutely change everything in the FGC. For better or for worse, that's to be determined. But they could come in and make a big impact.
The really weird one for me is balance and stuff like that. The balance changes in these games that are so heavily played, like League of Legends, are so numbers-based. It's like, oh, like, this character's really good at bronze level, so we're going to change this thing that we don't think will affect, you know, a grandmaster, but will affect bronze players and make it more fun for them. And conversely, this affects this level and not this level. And I think that's something fighting games have been missing for a long time. Mm-hmm. Our notions of balance are based almost purely around, like, who the best players at the time are doing what in a tournament. And I think that's frustrated players forever.
Yeah.
So I'm intrigued to see what they can do. Very intrigued. And that will be what I'm on when it comes out. Even if it sucks when it comes out, I'm going to give it a little bit because they've done a good mm-hmm. job making sure it doesn't suck later on.
Yeah. No, and that's an absolutely great point of balancing to all skill levels, not just the competitive ones. And I think bringing... So how tough would it be to balance something like a fighting game in that way where you can take something...
And some things are competitive, but they're just not good.
Right.
You know, I think that's a misnomer people have. Is everyone who's not a pro doesn't care. But a lot of people care. They just suck.
Yeah.
Or they're new.
Right.
And that's fine.
So I'm wondering, like, what's one thing, for example, that a change in a fighting game that could be effective to both lower levels and higher levels of play?
Well, the obvious one that would be positive for lower level and less big of a deal for higher level is something like, let's look at Balrog's dash punch in Street Fighter 4. It was like -3 and Chun-Li could jab it at certain ranges. But it was a one frame link and good players would do it and bad players wouldn't. So making that have a buffer window of an extra frame or something like that is something that we've done to make it easier. Now that has been controversial and making execution in those situations, but I don't know that like making a block punish easier has been very controversial. Making certain combos is. I mean, it's really delicate, and that's why it's a question and not an easy answer. But,
right.
Man. Yggdrasil. There's a great answer in the chat.
Very true.
Yggdrasil is a fairly mediocre move in high-level Grand Blue, and people are able to take very little chip and never get hit by it. But at low-level play, it's literally broken. Like, it completely destroys. If you've never played versus this, I guarantee you I can 10-0 you with just that. So making that a little bit have better mix-ups at a high level, but do less damage might be a way to make it better in one sense and worse in another.
Mm-hmm. For sure. No, I totally agree. That makes a lot of sense. Go for it.
Speaking of netcode, I wanted to mention this before we forgot. Skullgirls, the game that was dead and not getting any more updates, got yet another update.
Mm-hmm.
On top of their network patch, they now have both a Wi-Fi adapter and a jitter measurement on the matchup screen. So you can tell if the game detects that your opponent is playing Wi-Fi, it will show that. It will also detect if someone's playing on a wired bridge that won't necessarily show up as Wi-Fi. The jitter measurement will show, hey, there's probably a chance that this will be a rough match for you. So we're seeing more development on more sides of the importance of net play and how big that is for player experience. So hopefully that makes its way into Project L and other games going forward.
Well, if you were a game that had a pro tour, and you thought, you know, that's how you're going to get people to keep buying it, and that's how you're going to get people to buy the DLC, you're a little screwed right now, right? So net play has to be the answer. Now, of course, no one foresaw this, and no one foresees it, you know, being the same way afterwards once we can do things again. But right now, and for the foreseeable future, you better figure out a way to make people play your game online,
mm-hmm.
or else they're not going to buy anything else.
Yeah.
Can we hit up those two more topics before we go?
Go for it.
Just real quick.
Toss up the first one.
Earlier this week, Tokyo Game Show announced that it was canceling its physical show. This was set to take place in September, if I remember correctly. But that is going to be replaced with an online event. Note that it is notable to the FGC because in four of the previous 5 years, Tokyo Game Show has either been the site of or somehow connected to the CPT premier event in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And if you looked at the CPT schedule for the second half of the year, its Japan slot is not an it's. The event itself is to be announced, but its placement on the list of dates puts it right in that window for Tokyo Game Show. So it's very likely that we're seeing another event go by the wayside here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's another case of, that sucks, but it makes sense.
Yeah. And speaking then the of, other...
Go for it.
The other thing is potentially an offline event actually taking place. We have Topanga just announced a Tekken 7 League.
That's what I was going to bring up.
Go ahead.
No, go for it. You got it.
All right. So this will start in about 2 weeks on May 23rd. We have two blocks of eight players. Block A will be Aokare, Machan, Yojinboy, Chikorin, Yu, Rangchu, and Amigo. Block B is Gen, Double, Nobi, Naroma, Pecos, Take, Chirichiri, and Jotaro. Those, that group play will be online, but the top three advance to an offline top six final event. So we're starting to see the possibility of, hey, at least on a small scale, we'll get offline competition going again.
Yeah, and this is all in Japan, correct? Or am I a dummy?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
No, yeah, that's Japan. Yeah.
I can't wait to see this shit.
Should be good. Should be real.
I cannot wait to see it. It's going to be a good time. And speaking of time, we have run out of time. So, any last words before we disappear into the ether for another 7 days?
Thank you for your continued support. Play Grand Blue. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3, best soundtrack. Don't at me.
Okay. Mike, you haven't been here for a while, so this is our new outro. We play some Night Trap. So thanks, everybody, for joining us. This has been Best of Five. My name is Elon. This has been Michael Donka Schiller. And that over there has been Steve Hetty Murphy, Ace King Offsuit. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you all on the flip side as soon as I find the... There it is. Found it. Catch you all on the flip side next week. Peace out.
Good night. Good night, Canada.